Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Centerpoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. In this show, we will discuss ways that we can journey to our own centers. This can help us access our inner resources to improve our physical abilities and health, our mental strength, our emotional well-being, and our spirituality. And today, I'm honored to introduce our guest, Dr. Leora Kuttner. Hello, Leora.
Hello. Hello, Ron. Hello from Vancouver, Canada.
Thank you so much for joining us from the North Country. Let me tell the audience a little bit about you. Dr. Leora Kuttner is a clinical psychologist internationally recognized for her work in pediatric pain management. And she is a clinical professor in the Department of Pediatrics, University of British Columbia, at the BC Children's Hospital in Vancouver. She pioneered treatments in pain relief, implemented pain management programs for children and parents. In 1983, she created the first pediatric pain and anxiety management program in North America in the oncology department at BC Children's Hospital. In 1987, she was given the award for program innovation by the Association of Children's Hospitals. She continues to teach these methods to pediatric professionals throughout the world. Dr. Kuttner has published two books, A Child in Pain, What Health Professionals Can Do to Help, and then Pain Relief and Cancer Pain Relief and Palliative Care in Children. But her first career was as a documentary filmmaker, and she integrated this into her clinical work and directed five documentaries, including the acclaimed No Fears, No Tears, 13 years later, making every moment count. And she also did another film, I believe, called Dancing with Pain, regarding youth with chronic pain. So, Dr. Kuttner, I'm so honored to speak with you. And many of the listeners to this show are my patients who are adolescents and young adults, and I'm hoping you could tell us how you decided to first go into a career as a filmmaker and then later on to transition to psychology.
Well, I think it was a fortunate turn of circumstances. I was born in the UK, and during elementary school, my family had an opportunity, my dad had an opportunity to work in South Africa. So a lot of my early education was, in fact, in South Africa. And in the 60s and 70s, South Africa, unlike North America and the rest of the world, had no television whatsoever. We felt terribly deprived. And in mid-1970s, the country at that time was under apartheid, and I think that was part of the control that the government had on the population. So somewhere in the mid-70s, the government decided to bring television and bring the country up to date. And we were most fortunate in having the BBC in the UK, in London, come over to train us for 6 months. So this was an extraordinary opportunity. I was lucky to be one of the 200 new staff who were selected. We were trained by the BBC, and I chose to work in documentaries with a health angle. So I was looking at adoption, at health issues, and from a production point of view, interviewing and researching. And so I would have stayed. I loved this work. I loved the opportunity of diving in to uncover what the key elements were to bring health issues to the public. And I would have stayed in this career. I was blissfully happy. However, these were the days of apartheid South Africa, repressive regime, and all of our topics had to go through a censorship committee. And 5 years into this very exciting career, I was committed together with my team to do a program on smoking and the ill effects that were emerging in the mid-70s about smoking on the human body, from intrauterine life right to adulthood. And I dived in. My brother was in medical school, so I got access to pathology labs and saw the organs that were exposed to smoke. So the pictures were very powerful that we were able to obtain. And halfway through this documentary, the program was canceled. And I had woken up and realized that smoking was hugely deleterious to the human body at every level. And there was never a safe time to smoke. So we attempted to get the program through, but the tobacco interests in apartheid South Africa were very strong. It was a huge tobacco producing country, so I had little hope. Our team had little effect, and the program was cancelled. And if it hadn't been for that, I would never have left films. But I couldn't, in clear conscience, continue working for a body that did not want the truth out about the health. And I was just shattered to discover how much evidence there really was about the ill effects of smoking. So for that reason, Ran, I left documentaries and went back and did graduate work in psychology, because I loved the interviewing, the researching, the discovering of what really was going on. And that brought me back to psychology. And then that's when I discovered my fascination with the whole field of pain and the relationship of how and where the mind meets the body.
Well, this is, thank you for sharing all that. A couple of clarifying questions, if I might. How old were you when the BBC arrived in South Africa?
Oh, 23.
And what careers had you considered before that opportunity arose?
Well, before then, I was interested in medicine. And but I got a scholarship in my last year of high school that in Johannesburg area that took me to Chicago, and it disrupted the process that I had to go through to apply for medicine. And you know, after a year living in Chicago, I thought, no, I may go into psychology. I think that I was interested in the interface between mind and body even then, because I'd been a dancer, and dancers get injuries, and dancers are working with the body all the time. So I came back and I finished off my undergrad, and in those days, in South Africa, medical school was similar to the UK. You started in year one, which as I mentioned, had been disrupted by my scholarship to Chicago. So sort of fate intervened, and I think it's ironic, really, that even though I went into psychology, my interest was in the relationship between brain and body, between how one's feelings and thoughts or neuropeptides and neuroendocrine function influence body and body influence brain. And so when I decided to, I worked for a very short time, for a couple of years, in the Child, Adolescent, and Family Unit in Johannesburg's General Hospital, and then decided I was leaving South Africa. I was part of a whole generation that just felt very gloomy about where South Africa was heading. Apartheid was getting more repressive. The difficulties were becoming clear that we weren't progressing, and I lost any hope and decided to immigrate. And I got myself another scholarship and came here to Canada in 1980. And I'm very, very grateful to have a chance to start life off again. So I've been here for 43 years, and this is home.
Now, when you look back at your life, do you feel you were guided to this point, or was this random events?
This is a conversation my husband and I have so often. I feel absolutely guided. There's no doubt about it, how circumstances and opportunities arose. And my engineering, very left-brain husband will say, no, random chance. But no, I feel deeply, strongly that I've been guided, helped, and I'm immensely grateful to those hidden dimensions that I believe we all have access to.
I fully agree with you, Lyra. So, you got interested in pain. Can you give us a primer on pain? How does that work?
Pain is one of those fascinating experiences that cannot be measured. The only person who can tell you about pain, this is a lovely saying, the patient is the diagnostician of the pain. Pain is within our bodies and is an extremely discomforting, exhausting, and alarming experience, because it alerts us that something is wrong. And pain is recorded in the brain, is processed in the brain as well as the site of injury or wherever a procedure is happening. So there is an intrinsic interaction between brain and body processing pain through the spinal processes up through the neck into the limbic system, the thalamus, which is like a primitive, highly efficient protective device that will send information very rapidly to different centers of the brain, such as making meaning of the pain, locating the pain, describing the intensity of the pain, the history of the pain. All of that gets processed in the brain. And so there are fascinating examples of people at wartime who have had traumatic injury, such as losing a leg, who appear to not be experiencing much pain at all compared to civilians having a similar injury. And so there has always been this question of why is it that people, children with similar pain, injuries or trauma, will experience pain so differently? And there is an acknowledgement now that the brain and how we process these signals will result in how much pain we actually feel. So this relationship is critical in both treating, assessing, and recovering from pain.
What's the difference between pain from an accident and what we call chronic pain, pain that persists for years? There might not even be any more evidence of what's causing the pain, but the pain is there.
Right. And that's another fascinating example. So I'll start with chronic pain, which is pain that has persisted beyond 3 months. And because it has persisted, so the pain system, the nerves, the entire tract, ascending tract into the brain, is a dynamic learning. The body is built to protect itself. And so if pain persists, there is an alteration in the neural pathways, a concept we call neuroplasticity. So with pain that is persisting, the nerves are being activated all the time, the brain is recording that pain, there is a learning and accommodation to the pain such that the site of injury may heal up in those 3 months, but for one reason or another, often brain-related reasons, the pain signal persists in troubling, activating, disturbing the person. And so the pain of an accident can be highly traumatic, but the potential is for complete recovery and hopefully with no residue. In chronic pain, there often is no objective physiological markers for the pain. However, the nervous system, the pain brain network, has accommodated and learnt to maintain this pain. And there can be many physiological, psychological, neuroendocrine reasons for the continuing presence, but it becomes a far more complex process in recovery. In complex, to be able to heal from chronic pain, we need to treat multiple avenues simultaneously. So physio is an absolute. Physio and exercise and repatterning a relationship between brain and body is crucial to the recovery from chronic pain and the brain's role in thoughts around the pain, feelings, perhaps depression or feeling very sorry for oneself, or just frustration and irritation that it hasn't healed, can all contribute to the maintenance of this pain. And so it requires psychological, physical, behavioral, social, familial changes for chronic pain to heal.
what you mentioned earlier, physio, what does that mean?
Physio is PT. I'm sorry, I'm talking from Canada. Physio is what we call physical therapy. Physiotherapy is the use of carefully chosen physical exercise to repattern chronic pain or to heal from an injury. Is that clear, Ran?
Yes, very clear. Thank you for that explanation. When we come back from the break soon, I wanted to ask how you made the leap. So we know that pain is processed in the brain, but that's just knowing that. I want to find out what kind of approaches and how did you learn that working with the brain through, I assume, counseling and other means, as you mentioned, how did you learn that that could have an effect in what do you find to be particularly effective? So we'll be right back after these messages. This is CenterPoint with Dr. Ran Anbar.
Coming attraction, Life Guide for Teens, Harnessing Your Inner Power to Be Healthy, Happy, and Confident. A new book by Dr. Ran Anbar to be published early 2025. Dr. Anbar's renowned counseling practice, CenterPoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Anbar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ran Anbar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit DrAnbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ran Anbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At CenterPoint Medicine, with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at CenterPointMedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to CenterPoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ran Anbar. Our special guest, Dr. Leora Kuttner, who has explained to us how pain works. And now I'm hoping you can tell us, please, what can you do for pain? How can you approach it from a psychological perspective?
I think it's a real mistake to approach chronic pain or any pain from only a psychological perspective. It is crucial to recognize that at its heart, pain is a mind-body distressful experience, and we need to address it pharmacologically, physically and psychologically, simultaneously. It was one of those eureka moments for me when I began working in pain management to realize that as a psychologist, I had to understand the physiology. I had to quickly learn about the analgesics that were available and the physical method that we could use, you know, like acupuncture or massage or heat or cold, and that all of these had to be pulled in because essentially pain is a distressing experience in the body and in the brain. So when I talk to a patient who is in pain, I am talking, yes, to their brain, to their being, to their emotional self, and I'm also talking to their body because I've come to appreciate that the brain is in the body and the body is in the brain. And that they are so intertwined that I've learned not to isolate. So I'm always thinking body experience as I talk to the person who's in emotional distress or is thinking and saying that they cannot heal or they don't believe that they can ever heal. And so the ways of engaging with this complex mind-body experience is through carefully chosen words that both acknowledge what's happening but also invite the imaginative capacities that the brain has and the ultimate desire for healing that most patients do carry. And so using invitational language that will invite the possibilities of change, using metaphor and images, sensory images, body-based images or auditory images, all of these can come together. And as you know, Ran, I love hypnosis. So hypnosis, which is such a natural, graceful, and profound way to tap into the natural capacity that people have to bring about change in their bodies and in their experiences of being alive. So that's what I use. I love hypnosis. It's a way of going deeper into the unconscious, the subconscious, and activating the healing capacity within all of us.
So you mentioned earlier that, you know, pain, the mind and the body are connected, and pain is both in the mind and the body. How would you explain functional pain? So I would define functional pain as a pain that doesn't have a physical cause, at least what I think of it, and yet is quite felt. Is that you also treat the body in that case?
Oh, absolutely. I have great respect for the body. And if a child, a person, an adolescent presents with a pain that hasn't been able to be seen on an X-ray, ultrasound, MRI, PET scan, it doesn't mean that it's not there. We, you know, medicine's made extraordinary advances, but we still don't pick up energy flows in the body that the ancient Chinese have known about through acupuncture. And I mean, the Chinese can do major surgery just using acupuncture. It's very well documented evidence. And so I will treat a functional pain being perhaps a little bit more respectful of the emotional needs and inquiring a little bit more gently and compassionately about life, the child's life, school, social history, social recent social experiences, and it's sort of like a detective process of help working with a person with chronic pain or functional pain to open up new pathways between feelings, thoughts, and this particular ongoing functional pain so that we can appreciate what the body is calling for, what the real need is for this person to be able to let go this persistent, bothersome pain so that they can pick up their life probably in a rather different way and with new appreciation of how to live with the significant others in their lives.
What I've learned in medicine as a pulmonologist is that patients with medical issues, let's say asthma or cystic fibrosis, also develop a functional component of their symptoms. And sometimes it's hard to tease out which is primarily physiological versus functional. How, in pain, like somebody with chronic pain, how do you tease it out, or you just treat for both issues?
You know, I've come after 43 years of... I've come to respect pain greatly, and I stay honoring the pain that they experience without feeding it, inviting it to begin to change, and it's a long process. So that's a start of an answer.
I know it's a complicated question. Well, we are right back after these messages. Our special guest, Dr. Leora Kuttner, this is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Unbar.
Make-A-Wish has been granting life-changing wishes for children and families for over 40 years. A wish is something that gives children the opportunity to look outside their illness and restore a sense of childhood back to the child. With the help of donors and more than 43,000 worldwide volunteers, Make-A-Wish has collectively granted more than 520,000 wishes worldwide. Dr. Anbar has referred many patients to Make-A-Wish. To make a donation, go to worldwish.org. That's worldwish.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Anbar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit dranbar.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Dr. Ron Anbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Coming attraction, life guide for teens harnessing your inner power to be healthy, happy, and confident.
a new book by Dr. Ron Ambar to be published early 2025. Dr. Ambar's renowned counseling practice, Centerpoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Ambar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Centerpoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Ambar. Our special guest, Dr. Leora Kuttner, who is sharing some of her amazing experience with treatment of pain relief and pain management. And I was wondering, Leora, if you can share us some cases where your therapy, the approach, helped patients?
You know, when I came to Canada, I immediately began working in the oncology unit of BC Children's Hospital. They had a severe problem in the early 80s. We, in medicine, did not have very good analgesics that could be used for procedures. The only options were general anesthetic, and so I was called in to help with children with a range of different cancers, most frequently leukemias and lymphomas, and these were little children, sort of 3 to 6 years old, who had to have weekly lumbar punctures and monthly bone marrow aspirations, and I learned so much from these dear little children. They were my teachers. And I remember one little five-year-old who had leukemia having to have a lumbar puncture. And the only thing that we could use from a pharmacological point of view was local anesthetic, which, as many of you know, is uncomfortable because as it goes in, it burns. And so there was a high degree of interest in how could hypnosis benefit our patients in this in the oncology department. And the little six-year-old that I began working with was highly motivated. She hated the experience of the local anesthetic burning in her back, and she was delighted to be able to travel off to another place. And what this means is she and children in general naturally dissociate easily. Dissociate means that they'll leave their bodies and travel off in their imagination into a far more interesting, playful, fun experience so that they can have a good time. And this little girl, Samantha, did this with such rapidity. She just quickly traveled off to her grandmother's cottage by the lake where she could play and be in the boat with her grandpa and be on the lake looking at the birds and the seaweed and the life around. And it was so vivid that what I realized is that her motivation to just get this horrible procedure over allowed her to invest herself fully in an alternate experience, which I fostered, I enriched, I repeated what she loved and embellished it so she could immerse herself in this dissociative experience. And this kind of dissociation is a very therapeutic one. It is not a pathological one. It's a one where she separates from her body, allows the procedure to be done, and I was gobsmacked. I was fascinated how effective this experience of traveling away to her grandparents' cottage, and how when I actively supported this, vividly enriched it, how she didn't appear to experience any pain because she was so fully immersed in the experience of being at the cottage that she knew well. And that was really one of the earlier experiences that made me sit up and realize that this process of learning to use hypnosis with children experiencing horrible pain could be immensely helpful. And so I began a research program, and we carried it on for a full year and ended up training children, their parents, nursing staff, the residents, everybody. Now, another very interesting case. When I began to teach and show the evidence, because the research study was very positive, the evidence that hypnosis could make a significant difference in how much pain the child felt and how anxious they were. So both pain and anxiety could be successfully addressed with hypnosis. And I would find that my some of my medical colleagues, some of my psychiatric colleagues, some of the nurses would say, well, there's a danger about using hypnosis, because what if hypnosis masks important symptoms? And my answer to them was, if correctly used, respectfully used, it will not mask important symptoms. So my next case actually refers to this. And I've lost track of time, Rand. Tell me, how much time do we have left? Should I dive into this?
A few more moments. We're good.
We're good. Excellent. All right. I want to tell you about this wonderful 16-year-old teenager. We'll call her Jen. She had Ewing sarcoma, which is a horrible solid tumor that was growing in her back, multiple sites. She had a lot of pain, and she was highly motivated to do anything and everything to control the pain. So she learned a variety of ways of using hypnosis to control the pain from these tumors. And we worked together for 3 years, and she was in charge. She knew her body well, and she was no longer in hospital. She was an outpatient, and then I'd see her from time to time, and we would do another hypnotic session, which we would record so she could use at home. But in time, she learned how to use self-hypnosis, so she didn't need the recording, and she could control the pain whenever and wherever she needed it. But one day, she came into hospital, and this was the big wake-up learning for me. As I said, I've learned the most from my patients. And Jennifer was just about to teach me yet another really important capacity that hypnosis affords as a therapeutic tool.
So you've shown us how hypnosis can be so life-changing, and how precious your work is, how important your work is. And we come back, I'd like to ask you what lessons you've learned from your work that you can share with your audience, that perhaps they can start employing today to help themselves. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.
More than 30,000 children and adults of every race and ethnic group in the U.S. have cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is a disease causing long-lasting lung infections, limiting the ability to breathe over time. Dr. Anbar participated in research that helped advance survival of cystic fibrosis patients by more than 20 years. He encourages you to donate to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation to help find a cure. It's easy to donate. Go to cff.org. That's cff.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Ambar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit dranbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Ambar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine, with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Ambar. I think there's more to the story about the 16-year-old with Ewing sarcoma. Can you continue?
Yes, yes, I'd love to. Thanks so much, Ron. So one day, Jen came into the clinic, and she called for me, and she said, Dr. Leora, I've got pain, but I can sense it's different. It's different to the pain that I've been working with using hypnosis. So I've come into clinic, and I just got a chill when I heard her say it, because this really comes back to that challenge that my colleagues had thrown me. You know, hypnosis will mask symptoms. And what Jen was saying in that moment was, I know my regular pain. I know I can control it using hypnosis and my meds, but I'm tuned into my body now because of my use of hypnosis, and I can feel this is different. And so I'm not going to mask it. I'm going to be intelligent and come in and check it out. She knew already that her disease had returned and was advancing, and I just had this awful feeling. But full x-rays and workup revealed that she was right, and it was another profound learning opportunity and gift that Jen gave me, to realize that when we empower ourselves, our patients, to inhabit their bodies fully and learn how to engage intelligently with their symptoms and navigate that territory, you make decisions that can help you live better, live more comfortably, get the pain down to more comfortable levels, and that this relationship, this internal connection, as you say, Rand, journeying to your own center. The center can be spiritual, but it's also the center of your body, which is your home. You live in your body. It's your home. And so I was profoundly affected by how intelligently the 16-year-old navigated that difficult terrain and how accurate her assessment was. So, I've come away realizing that in this work in pain management, we really are opening doors of possibility. And one of the most powerful ways of doing that is using hypnosis, because hypnosis opens up a door consciously, but also subconsciously, and also somatically and emotionally. And it's a very rich, rich internal territory. So that's my story about Jen, Rand.
We talked earlier about how this 16-year-old helped teach you, but now she's helped teach all of us. And we talked about fate and how we're guided. And I think this is all tied in together as you're telling that story. I think a lot of people are affected by it.
Are affected by, I missed that last word.
The people who are listening to this are also have also learned from your 16-year-old patient, and this is, I think, meant to be.
Yeah, and you know, the big takeaway for all of us, because we all continue to live in our bodies, is the process of trust, of trust. That we have the inherent capacity to heal, and we need to trust the process of finding our way in to engage with the brain-body pathways, these messengers that travel between brain and body, and to leave, to move away from fearful imaginings. Fear is not our friend. Fear complicates healing and complicates recovery and drains energy. So I think trust, developing a trust of your own capacity to move into your center spiritually, your own capacity to be kind and compassionate to your body that is doing its best, even though it's in pain, and may need other doors to open to develop new patterns, new habits, new behaviors. And so developing that trust and developing new habit patterns of engagement that go beyond the conventional fearful habits and fearful imaginings need to be caught and reworded into what I want for myself, what I wish for is greater comfort, and I can take this moment right now with a deep, beautiful breath, because the breath is the bridge between brain and body. And as soon as you engage your breath, you are bridging into that brain-body network and allowing tension to release, spasms to soften, comfort to grow. And so I would say, trust and use your breath and ride your breath, breathe your breath, so that it becomes the royal road to travel into your body, brain, to build these new, more helpful, adaptive patterns. So that's what I'd say, Ron.
I love, you mentioned the breath as a pulmonologist, and I also want to mention that in the Jewish religion, the word for breath and soul overlap. So when you say engage your breath, I hear engage. How would you respond to that?
Oh, gosh, that's beautiful. It totally makes sense to me. Absolutely. This is the moment we are born. We exit the uterus and we're born into this world. We take a breath and we are alive. I think breath is life. Breath is the soul. Breath is attending to breath informs us how we are doing and connecting. The fact that in Hebrew the word for breath and soul are the same is beautiful. It makes total sense to me. And so that's a lovely way to end, to talk about how when you breathe, you are feeding and connecting with your soul, and you can honor that with your breath, paying attention to give the kinds of breath that do feed your life purpose, your soul purpose, and nourish your body and provide healing as well. So that's very
Leora Kuttner, thank you so much for sharing this time with us. I've learned a lot. I know our audience has, and thank you for teaching us.
My pleasure. A joy to be with you, Ran, and your audience.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you very much. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.